You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Action Network Podcast.
Better than most. Better than most. Better than most.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
Four!
You got real talent. Don't concentrate on golf.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Action Network Podcast presented by BetMGM, the golf edition, of course, and it's a major championship week. Can't wait to get it started. I'm Jason Sobel, and Justin Ray, my usual cohort on here on paternity leave. Congrats to Justin and his wife on their new baby, Jack. He's going to be away for a couple of weeks, but we've got Amanda Rose from the Gimme from Golf Bet to fill in. What a treat that is, especially on a major championship week. What's going on, Amanda?
Not much, Jason. I would just like to preemptively apologize to all of our listeners for having to listen to me, but I've actually been on fire lately. So I rescind that apology and instead offer congratulations.
That is a great launching point because you have been on fire. You've had some really good picks on the Gimme lately. Last week, first round leader, you wrote it up. You set it on the Gimme. You took Jordan Spieth as your first round leader play. He was tied with JJ Spawn at the end of the first round. All of that is great. I commend you on that play. But, you then proceed to go on social media and tell everybody how great you are because you made that play last week. What's that? Act like you've been there before.
I mean, I haven't recently, or at least not in the written form. I was really proud of that one because the first round leader bets are so hard to hit. I mean, you know that. It's like these guys are marathon runners, right? They're not really sprinters. Some of the guys are sprinters and they're the guys that you're like so disappointed at on Friday when they go from like a 65 to a 75 and you're like, seriously. But like, we need these guys that are marathon runners, you know, take it to Sunday, take it home.
My first round leader play this week, I don't feel good about it already, which means it's probably a pretty good play, but we'll get to some of those. We usually rehash the week before we get to the tournament at hand, but I feel like there's not a whole lot. Congratulations to KH Lee, winner of the AT&T Byron Nelson.
I already forgot his name. Justin picked him, or was he in our DFS lineup on the Gimme? He was in something. Justin picked him for something.
He had KH Lee maybe as his first round leader, actually.
Oh, that's what it was. But I was like, man, Justin and KH Lee, like that's so random.
So his baby Jack was born on Thursday morning last week and a couple days early, not much early. But I texted Justin afterwards. He had KH Lee as his first round leader who played really well in the opening round to start. And he had Sebastian Munoz, who had started really well, as his sleeper pick. And I texted him, I said, congratulations, so happy for you guys. That's great. Someday you'll have to tell Jack how close he came to being named either KH or Sebastian. just a couple of birdies away. Because come on, if you pick KH Lee as a first round leader and he takes the first round lead and you have a baby that day, at some point it's Kyunghoon Lee Ray that is going to be his name.
He should come to me or my family for the Korean baby names because my little brother is actually was adopted from Korea, and his given name was Ryu Ji-hoon, and Ji-hoon I believe means it's either little king or big king. I always forget, but his middle name is Ji-hoon, so it's like I'm the Korean name connoisseur of the show.
KH, Sebastian, they all would have been good. Yeah. Jack Ray is a good name, by the way.
I still think Amanda would have been a great name. It would have been trailblazing. You know, it would have been something.
I can't believe he didn't go in that direction.
I know. I'm still mad PJ didn't go in that direction, but we have Jennings on the show on Wednesday, which will be fun.
By the way, oh my gosh, what a good promo that was. Jennings on the Gimme back with us. We're bringing the band back together for the Gimme this Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to find it on all your social channels. We'll be tweeting it out and sending it out on Facebook and everything else. So can't wait to have Jennings back in the fold. I've already gotten a little inkling of who he likes. And so you guys know how Jennings likes to fire, especially at the majors. So you'll want to tune in for that. And getting back to the Nelson, I'd love to sit here for 10 minutes and break it all down. I was in a car the entire time during the Sunday final round. Doesn't look like I missed much. I was watching at home when KH Lee passed Sam Burns very early in the round, and then
that was crazy.
Sort of put it on cruise control, and there's really nothing left to talk about. It just wasn't a whole lot of drama out of that thing. Great for KH Lee. Yeah. It's a life changer. He's one of, I believe now, five players who have gained a first time victory on the PGA Tour this season, which seems really low. It just goes to show how hard it is to win on the PGA Tour, but congratulations to him. You got anything else from last week you want to talk about?
I mean, we saw Jordan again, like once again, he's still in the mix. Like there's so many people, I don't know if he's back. I mean, how can you deny that he's back? Like he won before the Masters. He finished tied for third at the Masters. He finished tied for ninth last week. I mean, it's just, it's the Jordan show. Like I fully expect a top 10 from him this week.
Is somebody saying Jordan is not back right now? Are there still those Jordan deniers out there?
There are. And see, I've learned in this political climate, if people are deniers of anything, you just let them do it. Like it's not worth fighting. It's not worth deciding who's going to Thanksgiving dinner. Like you just talk about other things.
By the way, Jordan
Spieth now has the Spieth deniers. It's really upsetting.
Seven top tens in his last nine starts. And oh, by the way, which we barely talk about, and I think just because it's only been a few years, but Phil Mickelson has famously finished second place at the U.S. Open six times, come so close so many times to joining what I think is golf's most exclusive club, one of the coolest clubs in all of sports. Only five players, Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, have won the career Grand Slam. Phil, so close so many times. We've talked about it ad nauseum for years. Rory McIlroy has demons at Augusta National, came so close at the Masters 10 years ago, and since then has been coming various degrees of close once again and hasn't gotten there. And you wonder, you would think at some point it's going to happen for Rory, but who knows? Maybe it won't. We always thought Ernie Els, we always thought Greg Norman would win a Masters. And now we look at Jordan Spieth and sort of the 1C storyline of players going after the career Grand Slam is Jordan, who clipped off a Masters early in his career, got a U.S. Open right afterwards, got an Open Championship, sort of the three toughest legs.
I was going to say that. This is the easiest one left in a way.
In a way. I mean, I've always thought the Masters is like the easiest one because there's only 90 or so guys in the field and really 30 of them don't have much of a chance. But still, based on pressure, you don't want to leave the Masters as the last one because all of a sudden there's pressure anyway to win a Masters, but then so much more pressure when it's the fourth of the four legs of the Grand Slam. But for Jordan, basically all he has to do, make it sound really easy, is go win this week. And he's in the same conversation with Tiger and Jack and Ben Hogan. I mean, that's crazy to think about that. 2 months ago, we're like, what's wrong with Jordan? Is he ever going to win again? To, hey, he could be considered one of the all-time greats if he does indeed win at Kiawa. So I guess let's start talking about this week's PGA Championship by talking about Jordan Spieth. What do you think about his chances for completing that career Grand Slam this week?
I like his chances, but I don't love them. Mm-hmm. Like I think it could very well happen, but I almost feel like there's too much happening at once that it just would be too explosive, right? Like for him to have just won again and then win the major and complete the Grand Slam and go from, like you said, being some guy where we're like, hello, where are you, Marco? Like, you know, waiting for him to yell polo from somewhere that, you know, in the same zip code. And it's fun to see him, you know, be back and to be doing the things that he had been doing. Like his putting's really good right now. His driving's decent. Like he kind of gets himself in weird spots, but he's almost better from those weird spots. And this week we have really narrow fairways. I mean, you know, you'll go out to the course tomorrow, I assume. I know you said you hadn't seen it today, but like it's, you'll have more insight on that for Wednesday's show. And I don't know. I think that this course sets up well for Jordan. Like, he can drive it into weird stuff and still come back and contend. But I don't know if this is going to be his week. But if he doesn't finish in the top 10, I will be shocked.
Yeah, I tend to agree with pretty much everything you said there, that I like him a lot. I don't love him. He's not my number one pick to win this week. But, yeah, he's certainly in my top 10. I think it's going to be a good week for him. It'll be a title contention of some magnitude, whether it's a shot back after, 72 holes or five shots back. But I do think he will be up there. I see too much value further down the line. And I think that there are a lot of guys out there that have a really good chance of winning this thing. One thing that I do think Spieth has working in his favor, I know there will be a lot of talk this week about this being a close to 7,900 yard golf course. And everyone's going to say, oh my gosh, it's so long. Only the long hitters have a real serious chance of winning this thing. That's not going to be the case. In fact, if you go back to 2012, when the wind was blowing more than it'll blow this week, and it was soft and playing even longer, really, than it'll probably play this week. Okay, Rory won. We know that Rory is a great driver of the golf ball and hits it a long way. The other nine guys in the top 10 did not finish in the top 10 in driving distance. You had a lot of fairly short hitters, from David Lynn to Carl Pedersen to Ian Poulter. I mean,
Blake Adams and his, like, his baby blanket was up there. Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so I think that, there's a good chance for Jordan this week. He's not my favorite play, though. Let's move on to Rory. Rory, a couple of weeks ago, talked about last week on the pod, Jeff Sherman, the VP of risk management from Superbook Sports, who is at Golf Odds on Twitter. And he's kind of the guy that really sets the market on a lot of this stuff. But Jeff told me that on Wednesday of the Wells Fargo, he had Rory at 20-1, got some sharp action on Rory for the PGA, moved him to 18-1 the next day. Then he started to play well, moved him to 16-1. And after the win, moved him to 10-1 as the tournament favorite, which, life comes at you quickly, I guess, when you're Rory McIlroy and you're trying to bet on Rory McIlroy. And so all of a sudden he's the tournament favorite. As far as questions to you, one, does he deserve to be the tournament favorite? If you were handicapping the field, is he your favorite this week? And two, what do you think of his chances this week to go back-to-back at Kiowa, if you will?
Okay, so I have kind of two schools of thought when it comes to should he be the number one. One, it's like my heart that's like, yeah, he just won again at Quail Hollow, and DJ has kind of been just blowing dust, and it's so great. Like, yeah, half of me wants to be like, yeah, he deserves to be there. He's the last person that won this event. But at the same time, like, no, I think he should be closer to 20-25-1, in my opinion. Like, I don't think he should be, okay, maybe not 20-25-1, 18-20-1. Like, that kind of should be his range still. Even though he did just win again, he hasn't had that consistency that we saw from him. And I think that the COVID break, like when everything kind of shut down in March, that was the worst thing that could have happened for Rory, because he was on such like a wave. Like, he was playing so well leading up into that COVID break. COVID happened, and then his game kind of fell apart in a way. So I don't think he's quite back. His putting is so much better right now. Like, I think he should be, around, 15-18-1. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think he should be 10-1, 11-1. I saw on some books. And what do you think?
I don't have a problem with him being the favorite. DJ's got a knee injury, forced his withdrawal last week from the Nelson. We don't know how serious it is. I know he played 18 holes earlier today. We're recording this on Monday evening. So came out on Monday and played 18 at Kiowa. So can't be hurting him that much if he's going to play 18 on a really long golf course. JT, I could put in that mix. John Rahm, who really hasn't played great either. He's finished outside the top 30 and his last two starts, missed the cut a couple of weeks ago. And so just sort of by default, I don't have a problem with Rory being the favorite. Yeah. What I do have a problem with is, and this goes beyond just betting, this is more for the one and dones and the major championship pools. I assume, Amanda, that we'll have a lot of people listening this week who aren't ordinarily golf bettors, but they say, I need somebody for the pool. We do a major pool and I need to pick somebody. Who should I pick? Rory's obviously on my list. I got to pick Rory. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, based on two facts. One is, okay, he won here. The only history we have to go on. I mean, nobody here played in the 1991 Ryder Cup. So the only history at Kiowa that we have to go on is the 2012 PGA Championship. And you go and look at that and you go, well, Rory dominated. He won by 8. So therefore I like Rory. And then you say, okay, I want to look at current form. Let me go back to the last start for each of these players. Oh, look at that. Rory McIlroy won in his last start. Okay. Therefore I like him. So there's two really solid reasons to like Rory this week. And I think people are going to read way too much into that. I think there's going to be, at least as far as those pools, maybe not necessarily the betting markets and maybe not necessarily DFS or anything like, but I do think that the people in those pools are going to go, I'm all in, I'm pushing all my chips in on Rory because it just makes sense. I mean, you know, sometimes, and I was doing my PGA Tour radio show with Michael Collins and Michael picked Rory this week. And, you know, he sort of gave the Occam's razor defense, which is the most sensible answer is usually the right answer. And I kind of said, okay, that's,
it's not in golf, though. It doesn't happen in golf.
It just doesn't happen that often in our game. So
tell that to Rich Beam and what's his name, Sean McKeel. Like, is that no?
Yeah, there are a lot of times when it's just, hey, you know what? If common sense says something should happen, usually in golf, it doesn't happen that.
Well, the other way.
Yeah. So again, I like Rory this week. I feel very much the same way with Spieth. If I had to take two big name players this week. If you're in one of those pools, it does like, okay, two from tier A and two from tier B. I don't like Bryson DeChambeau, despite this being a long golf course. I think a lot of people will say, hey, long course, he's a long hitter. Boom, I got Bryson this week. Last week was a long golf course and he didn't play well. I was told by one player on Wednesday last week that course suited Bryson perfectly. And by the way, he didn't play well there. So if he didn't play well there, I can't imagine he's going to take it to this event and start playing well here. Don't like John Rahm, not in good form. DJ's been a little hurt. Brooks has been hurt, of course, just trying to get back into the swing of things, but missed the cut last week. JT is the one guy that I can look at and say, all right, he's fine. Xander, same thing. You know, Xander, playing well. You know, nothing really, you know, kind of jumps out at you and says, hey, don't take him, you know, for some reason. But of the top tier, Jordan and Rory are the guys that I really like. Is there another guy out there that you look at and say, you know, this big name player should show up this week?
Yeah, the two that I'm actually surprised you didn't go in the direction that I thought you were going to go. I really like JT and Xander this week. Xander's putting has been so good since the Masters. I mean, I think, what was he, tied for third there? And I like how he's been playing. He's just hanging around top 10 last week. No one really is paying attention because he's not winning and like you're expecting him to win and he's not really in the top 10, except for like on Sunday, he kind of makes his way back in. So I really like him and I love JT. Like JT's playing pretty well. He won the Players a few months ago. They're different courses, but they're kind of similar. Like I feel like the grass and the wind is a little similar. You have a lot of water in that sense. So I think he actually has a good chance. So I like Xander and JT. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't hate them. I'm working on my ranking of the field right now. It'll probably be out by the time a lot of you are listening to this podcast. So you'll be sitting there going, well, what do you mean you have this guy at this spot? And there's a good chance I'm going to move people around. But I have JT and Xander each low end top 10 or maybe just outside the top 10, but not very far down. So I like them. Rory and Jordan, I have top 5 each. So again, like I like them. Don't get me wrong. You know, when I say I don't love them, I really like them. I've got a lot of guys in that second tier, and I hate to call them second tier players because they're really good players, but guys who are 30 to 1 to 70 to 1, there are a whole bunch of guys that I really like in that range, Amanda. And I can start going down the list of players that I really like. But as we move our way down, is there a name? And I know you said you don't like Bryson this week. Is there a name from that list of sort of the elite talents that you're fading this week? Bryson's my guy. Bryson's like, just sort of, he's off the radar screen. He might play pretty well, but I don't see him contending. Is there a guy that you're just off on this week?
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm not loving Dustin Johnson. Like, I think if Dustin Johnson ends up playing well, it might be John Rahm. That's the one that plays really bad, or maybe both of them. But I'm kind of torn between DJ and Rahm. But I don't know. Doing backflips off of a jet on Peanut Island, I don't know if that's like exactly a great way to prep for a major championship, but I mean,
like 2 weeks ago,
I'd be doing the same thing. Like I would be there too. I used to go to Peanut Island and do crazy stuff like that. So it's fine. But
that was a few weeks ago. It doesn't have to be prepping. Some people say, like, it's so funny in the world of social media when we have more insight, more access to specific players, and you see a player doing something that doesn't involve golf, and all of a sudden you're like, shouldn't you be practicing your swing? Shouldn't you be working on your putting right now? Shouldn't you be? It's like, nah, just be a person. You're allowed to go out on a Tuesday morning and do a backflip off a boat. Who cares? You know, like, let's not make this sound like these guys have to practice 16 hours a day every day.
I know that is true. You are right. And I'm just making a joke.
I know. You're right. DJ, the one thing about DJ, two things. One is that he has shown a propensity, and we saw it last summer, for going from 0 to 60 very, very quickly.
Real quick.
That he can go from, I have no form whatsoever, and you're like, whoa, I'm way off on DJ for a while. I'm not going to bet on him. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, I decided to play well, and I played well, and there we go. And it just, it comes back to him.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that you kind of forget, but he grew up in this type of environment. Okay, Myrtle Beach and Kiawah are not exactly the – in the same tax bracket, but it's the same state, South Carolina. He's going to feel at home coming here. I'm sure he's played Kiawah probably more times than most of the other players in this field. I'm sure he played junior events and amateur events and collegiate events at this golf course before. Yeah. So there's got to be some sort of comfort level for him. So I don't hate DJ. Can't wait till tomorrow. Oh, by the way, only 15 press conferences in the interview room on Tuesday from 9 to 5. I'll be doing interviews for radio 15. With a lot of the guys when they finish up. That is a large schedule, but DJ is one of the more intriguing ones because I want to know, was last week just for precautionary measures, or was last week like, I'm hurt and I can't play and hopefully I'll be better a week later?
Yeah, that is a good question. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's fine. And to your point, like, he is comfortable in this area. Like, his best finish in his kind of recent slump was at the RBC. So he does like this kind of golf in this, in this state. So maybe I shouldn't fade him. Maybe he'll show up and finish top 10, but only time will tell.
Yeah, we will find out very soon. Let's get to this mid tier, because this is my favorite mid tier that I've ever seen. Quite honestly, I think there's so much value here. I'm going to go down the list of guys that I like, and I'm going to probably forget a few of them as well, but from Daniel Berger to Mark Leishman to Victor Hovland, who's is probably kind of lower top tier than upper mid tier, but he's a guy that I like a lot. Mark Leishman, Sungjae Im, Matt Fitzpatrick, Corey Connors. There are a lot of guys in this range that I think are going to play really, really well this week. Any of those names stick out to you, or you got anyone else that you're looking at from this range?
Yeah, I love Corey Connors. I think he is just playing so well. I think his first major will be a Masters, but I do like him a lot. One guy that I'm really intrigued about is Will Zalatoris. I heard he played golf today with Steve Stricker, who's the Ryder Cup captain, assistant captain, Zach Johnson, and as Joe Beal very funnily put it, like, self-proclaimed whatever cohort or so whatever, Phil Mickelson, just kind of like hanging out. So that kind of tells me something. That's interesting. It's like they won't even give this guy a PGA Tour membership and he could potentially be on the Ryder Cup team. So I'm going to keep an eye on him. I also like Matt Fitzpatrick a lot. I think this is like a really good course for him. These English guys on these sandy courses, they tend to play really well. So I like Matt Fitzpatrick a lot. Keegan, he kind of shows up at PGA championships. He's putting better. Mm-hmm. You've been hot on him. So maybe even Keegan for top 20 this week.
I like that a lot. Going back to Corey Connors, I find it very interesting that some players, for whatever reason, just sort of become big names. You know, we hype them up earlier in their careers. Victor Hovland is a good example. Victor Hovland, okay, we knew about Hovland coming out of Oklahoma State. He's played well for a few years. Now, coming in here fresh off a pair of third place finishes and like, boom, he's 20-1. It's like, all right, like, a lot of people like him, as well they should. I love him this week. Mm-hmm. He's second on my list as of right now, and that could change by the time I publish it. But there are certain guys who get a lot of respect from the books and a lot of respect from the public. Corey Connors is a guy that I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just the unassuming Canadian thing, but I feel like both the books and the public are looking at Corey Connors right now saying, ah, that's a nice little story.
Right?
He's had a good little run. But not like, hey, this guy is a force. This guy is one of the best ball strikers in the world. This guy, when he putts just above the field average, he is going to be in the mix. He's going to be in contention. And I don't know when he starts getting that respect. He should have gotten it after another top 10 at the Masters, where he played well a few years ago as well. But it just, for whatever reason, we tend to look at Corey Connors collectively. Everybody out there looks at Corey Connors as like, he's, you know, like nice little Canadian guy doing his thing over there. But he is really, really talented. And at some point people are going to start realizing it and the books are going to adjust. So I guess my advice for the people out there is jump on it before the books adjust to what he really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how I feel about a lot of these guys when they come over to the US. Like, you know, so these events are kind of hard to handicap with it being a major, but you know, you see guys like Garrick Higo and Christian Besuidenhout, and it's like there's so many guys that are coming over this week from Europe that are just so talented, that have been an absolute fire. Like John Catlin kind of underperformed last week. That was a shame, but it'll be interesting to see how he plays this week. He's really good in these windy conditions. But yeah, there's a lot of guys that just get no respect, that it's like they should get a little bit more respect. But obviously you and I and anyone who's betting likes when these guys don't get any respect from the books, because then we make more money.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, disrespect everybody. I'd be fine with that. Yeah. Matt Wallace is another guy who's played.
Yeah. He's
really
in my article this week
on the PGA Tour. I really like Matt Wallace this week. He should be a very popular play. The two guys that I haven't mentioned yet are the two guys that won the Zurich Classic together. I'm not sure that we can take anything from an event in New Orleans that's a team event that has nothing to do with a major championship and an individual event, but I really like Mark Leishman's at the top of my list.
Yeah,
and I've had Mark Leishman pegged. I've talked about him on the pod the last couple of weeks with Justin, where look, he's got so much going for him. First of all, even if it doesn't get super windy here, which it's not really supposed to, but not super windy at Kiawah is still a 1.5 to 2 club wind. I mean, it's not like it's totally laying down and there's no wind out there. You know, it's either a 2 club wind or a 4 club wind, and a 2 club wind is the not windy wind. And so I still think that his low trajectory is going to help him this week. He hits the ball a long way, and I know people are going to look at it and say, he's 148th on the PGA Tour in driving distance, averages 291 off the tee. Yeah, but his long irons, I remember, not all length is measured by how far you hit a driver. Hits his mid and long irons really, really well. That's going to help this week. Guy can get up and down from the proverbial trash can around the greens. Form is really good. Top 30 in his last three individual events. Of course, the win with Cam Smith, who I'm going to get to in a second, at the Zurich Classic. And he went on Gravy in the Sleeves, our buddy's show on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio last week, and said, if I'm ever going to win a major, this might be the venue that suits my game the best. As soon as he said that, I was on him already. As soon as he said that, I'm like, all right, Leishman's my guy. I'm going to put him at the top of my list. I usually don't delve that deep, and he's, well, shop around. He's between 66 and 80 to 1 in most books this week, and so you can get a good number on Mark Leishman. So I really like him. If you don't want to pick him to win top fives, top tens, he's certainly capable of doing that. In fact, he was fifth place at the Masters just last month, and I don't think Augusta National suits him nearly as well as Kiawah does. So I like him. And then getting to Cam Smith, by the way, first player when I checked in, I'm here on the island. When I checked into my condo last night, the first player at registration that I saw, which is always a good sign, was Cam Smith. And so I felt like I should probably like, you know what? I don't even need the key. I'm just going to turn around and go back to Orlando and go home, because I just saw the guy that I wanted to bet, and there he is. And I got my sign. And so Cam Smith was the first guy I saw, and Cam Smith has been playing tremendous golf. Go back and look at Cam Smith's results this year, which are like one after another after another. It's like, wow, Cam Smith played well. It's like, you know, Cam Smith kind of plays well every single week. So he's another guy, another Australian, plays well in the wind, plays well in big events. I think he's going to have a really good week.
Yeah, he's my favorite first round leader pick. He leads the tour in first round scoring. So I love him this week. And Mark Leishman, I also have him picked for some stuff on Wednesday. So I love both of those guys. It's kind of funny. I kind of now think of them as a pair, which is awful because like they're individual people, but like, no, now they're just like, I mean, one has a wiener dog, but they're so similar.
One has a mullet, the other has a fake mullet.
Yeah, one has a wig.
By the way, my first round leader bet this week is, I don't think I like it.
What is it?
It's like one of these, like something's got to give. So in his last five starts, Sergio Garcia has four scores on Thursdays that are 65, 65, 67, 68. Sounds really good, right?
Yeah.
Except the fifth of those five events was the Masters, where he shot 76 in the opening round, missed the cut, which, oh, by the way, in his last 12 major starts, he's missed the cut 10 times. And the two times he made the cut, he did not finish inside the top 50. He's been absolutely awful at the majors ever since the 2017 PGA. We're going on 4 years now where Sergio has been terrible at major championships. And so I look at it and I go, I don't know. He's played really well on Thursdays lately, and he's played really bad in majors over the last few years. So at some point, something's got to give. So I'm saying that the major thing is going to give this week, and he'll keep it going on Thursdays. But I don't know that he can keep it going for three full days. I don't know that I would bet Sergio necessarily outright, but I think he can get off to a good start.
I like that. Yeah, I think that's interesting. I was really close to picking him last week for something, because it does. It feels like he's just close. Like he played well kind of early in the year. He played decent in Dubai, and he just kind of hasn't really been there this year.
Yeah, he's a tough guy to try to figure out. I liked him a little bit last week. Like I said, on the gimme last week, since 2011, he's won an event every single year. He's not won in 2021 yet, but at some point it's coming, and I have no idea whether it's coming at a big one or he goes back to another Sanderson Farms and picks off another W against an inferior field when you least expect it. Any other, before we get to our DFS lineup this week, Amanda, anyone else like way further down the board that you look at and you say, you know what, there's a little bit of value there, I might like him a little bit?
I don't like Matt Kuchar right now. I see him around 100-1. He played really well last week. He likes these kind of swampy golf courses. He likes the RBC. So I like him a lot this week. Brendan Todd, another guy around 100-1. I don't love him, but actually a guy at 100-1 I do really like is Thomas Peters. Kevin Kisner also around 125-1. Those numbers. Victor Perez, actually great value at 125-1. You know, I mean, he played well at the Masters, or was it the Players that he ended up with the top 10 finish and came back on the weekend. He's just been phenomenal. So I love him. Sam Horsfield, you guys know I love Sam Horsfield. I don't know if I bet him to win this week, but top 40, top 30 might be an interesting bet for him.
Yeah, I think, and for those who are listening that aren't usual golf bettors and are maybe just tuning in because it's a major championship and you want to bet on a major championship, welcome. We do this every single week, by the way. And so figure out what you want to bet for these guys. And there are some guys with long odds that you say, can he really win the golf tournament this week? I don't know that he can necessarily win. Matt Kuchar, you mentioned Kuch. I really like Kuch this week. He's 175-1. But is he going to win this golf tournament? I don't think so. Can you finish in the top five at 28-1? Top 10 at 11-1? Yeah, I love those.
That's like hitting Rory for winning. I mean, it's like, hello, it's so good. Like, that's why those are my favorite bets. Like, when people ask me, well, isn't golf really hard to bet? I'm like, well, you know, guys that are going to finish in the top 20, the top 10 every week. And once you kind of figure that out and figure out you don't always need to bet the winners, you're going to start making money. And there's guys that get no respect. And you see that number there. You said like 28-1, 11-1. For top five, top tens, like those are really good numbers.
Russell Henley has some great numbers as well. Jeez, I don't know who's disrespecting Russell Henley, what he did to anybody, but where I just had him.
He went to University of Georgia. That's what he did.
Where did Henley go? I was just scrolling through. He might change as 225-1 to win, 28-1 top five, 12-1 top 10. So I think there's some really juicy numbers on Russell Henley. And then if you're looking at guys, okay, major long shot, this guy's a sleeper, he's got a big number next to his name. Can he really win though? If you're looking for one of those guys who, yes, he can win a big event, he's very capable of doing it. And if you want to just throw something on a lottery ticket, Siwoo Kim on a Pete Dye golf course at 130-1 this week.
That was shocking.
Very good value. I can't believe he's at that number. I would have thought Siwoo was going to be 60 or 70-1 this week, not 130. I mean, that he is twice the price of a Sam Burns, of a Matt Fitzpatrick, Keegan Bradley, Bubba Watson. I like Siwoo at that number a lot, Amanda.
Yeah, I do too. And speaking of people that are just getting really kind of ridiculous numbers, Wai Yang is 350-1 to win. He's the guy who won in 2009. He beat Tiger. Omar Uresti, who was the former pro and then became, you know, the PGA pro, and everyone is always like up in arms about him playing things. He is just above him and just below Jim Herman. So Wai Yang, man, he was the first Asian man to win a major. And they're putting him below Omar Uresti. Like, I have some fists to throw, some punches to throw.
You're on your own Kiwa Island with that one. I cannot support a Wai Yang bet this week.
In fact, I don't support it. I just don't think Omar Uresti should be above Wai Yang.
I will take Omar to make the cut. How's that sound? Actually,
that's an interesting play.
By the way, looking at, if you want to look at just ridiculous odds at the bottom of the board, there's one name jumping out at me. Of all the names on here, like towards, you know, you look towards the bottom, okay, get past all the club pros, you got a couple of like former champs and Yang and McKeel and Beam, and okay, and looking at some random European guys right in the middle of there. I get that Erik van Rooyen has not played very good golf this year.
Yeah, that's all.
Van Rooyen is 600-1. He is 25-1 for a top 10 this week. You look at, and I mentioned him earlier, some of those guys that finished top 10 in 2012. And there are some really not big names on that list. And so if you're thinking that history might repeat itself, don't just think about Rory McIlroy winning at Kiowa yet again. Think about some guys with big odds who can finish inside that top 10. Van Rooyen, 25-20, 600-1, 66-1 top five, 25-1 top 10. You know, I think there's some good odds on that.
This is Action Network podcast producer Matt Mitchell, here to tell you our friends at BetMGM have a great new sign-up offer for our listeners, a $600 risk-free first bet. Here's how it works. If you don't already have an account at BetMGM, just sign up, make your first deposit, and place that initial wager. If the bet wins, you get all the money. If it doesn't win, BetMGM will refund you in free bets up to $600. It's that simple. Just click on the link in this episode description to get started. BetMGM has been a great podcast partner, and they've got all the features gamblers like us love, like live betting and daily odds boosts. Plus, they're compatible with BetSync, so when you place a wager at BetMGM, that bet can automatically be tracked in your Action app. So open an account today and make your first bet risk-free up to $600. Just click on the link in this episode description to get started. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Michigan, New Jersey, Colorado, Indiana, West Virginia, Iowa, Virginia, Tennessee, Nevada, or Pennsylvania. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, or 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia. BetSync not available in Nevada. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
Let's get to our DraftKings lineup. We do it every week on the Gimme, and we'll do it right here on the podcast every week as well.
Want to be a DFS millionaire? You're just one lineup away.
We're going to go nose to nose with him, and you're going to play better than you ever dreamed of, because God damn it, that's what I demand of you.
So let's get drafting.
Amanda, you get the first crack on the Gimme every single week, so I guess there's no reason to not do the same thing here on the podcast, so please take the honors.
Thank you. I was going to let you go first for being
such a great person. No.
But let's start this off with a bang. I'm going with Xander. I really like him. Like, you know, it's either him or JT for my really expensive guys. I like Xander. He's putting really well. He had a good finish last week. He's been playing well. He had a good finish in the Masters. So I really like Xander this week.
I'm going to have most of my lineups loaded up with guys from 72 to 7,400 up to 9,300.
Nice.
I just think there's so many guys in that area that like, there's you can build a whole lineup of six of those players, and I think any of those six can play really well this week. I'm starting most of them with Mark Leishman at 7,600. I just think he's, like I said, he's my favorite play on the board, and I also think he's extremely undervalued as far as DFS is concerned.
I like that. I'm going to go with a guy you like that you mentioned, Matt Wallace, is a guy I also really like. I also like him for a first-round leader this week, so I'm going to take Matt Wallace next.
All right. Well, you've done an expensive play and a mid-tier guy. I've done a mid-tier guy. I get my expensive guy. So I'm not going too deep, but Victor Hovland, I mentioned him as well, 9,300. Guy's playing so well right now. It wouldn't shock anybody to see Victor Hovland basically change the narrative, because we've talked about over the last couple of years, who are the best players under 25 or 25 and under? Yeah. And I think over the past year, it started with, well, Morikawa, obviously, because he's a major champion. And then Matthew Wolf in the past, although not now. Okay, Hovland, Im, Cameron Champ, Sam Burns now has done some stuff.
Excellent.
But we look at those guys and say, okay, you know, some combination of all that. I'm forgetting Neiman. I'm forgetting Zalatoris, of course. I don't mean to leave anybody out. But I think there's a chance that at some point very soon, we don't just automatically assume that Colin Morikawa is number one on that list, because I think Victor Hovland is coming. He's coming in a hurry, and it could be this week. I'm putting him in there 9,300.
I like that play. I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction. I'm going to go with Kevin Kisner, South Carolina guy, Palmetto guy, not too far away. He tends to play really well in these courses. I don't know, this kind of seems like a week for him. I'm trying to give you a little bit more money, but I don't know. I just have a good feeling about Kevin Kisner this week.
Okay, I like that. I actually watched him. We did our PGA Tour radio show from the range. We were on the far right side of the range, and for the last hour of the show, Kisner was on the far right side of the range, so we had a good view of him. He's working on some things, but it looks like he's swinging it well and good spirits. So I have no problem with that. You've left me 9,100 on the board.
Wow.
There's some guys I'm like really there. Nice. Yeah, you're really nice. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Patrick Reed right there at 9,100. I like Patrick Reed this week.
I do too.
I don't know that I love him. Apparently, he has moved from he went from a 44-inch driver to a 46-inch driver. That was too much. He was spraying it all over the place. He's backed off to a 45.5-inch driver and is sort of like, you know, went from the parge was too hot, the parge was too cold, and now the parge is just right. And he's apparently hitting it really well. So I like Patrick Reed there. Pat Cantlay, I can't quite get behind right now. I'm usually a huge fan of Cantlay, but he's not played well lately. Cameron Smith, I mentioned, I really like him, 8,900. Will Zalatoris, what's not to like? We like him every week, 8,800. And then I get to the guy that I'm going to pick. I'm going to leave 400 on the board. I'm going Daniel Berger. And quite honestly, Amanda, I'm getting my top three picks in this lineup. Leishman, Hovland, and Berger. I can't pass that up. And so that's our lineup. Berger, Hovland, Kisner, Leishman, Schauffele, Wallace. I think that's a really strong lineup right there.
I do too. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Just so the listeners know, we take 10% when you enter our lineups. Thank you. You can send that to my personal Venmo.
It's always nice. So you don't realize this, but on the pod, we get to see just how many people are listening to the pod by how many people duplicate our lineup on a weekly basis. So if you want to see, you know, just put that in DraftKings and see how many people you're tied with at the end of the week. And then you say, oh, there's our people.
Hey guys,
we all tied.
Yeah,
you know, so, well, 100 of us split $1 million. That's still some money. That's still okay.
Yeah,
we'll make something off of that. 10,000 each. Okay, we'll be all right with that. So, that's the lineup there. Can't wait for this PGA Championship to get started. Amanda, thanks so much for sitting in for Jay Ray this week.
Thanks for trusting me. I mean, you know, you guys are both dads, so you're real adults, and I'm just kind of here breathing your air, so thanks.
I didn't trust you. I had nobody else.
Thank you. You only had eyes for me. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much to everybody out there for listening to this edition of the Action Network Podcast. You can catch Amanda and I with Peter Jennings making his long-awaited return on the Gimme this week, Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For everybody out there, good luck with your picks for this week's PGA Championship. Here's hoping you hit the green.
We're finished talking.